I'd now like to take a few moments to introduce Sharon and Solomon before they are invited to speak. Sharon Jinkerson Brass is a member of the Key First Nation in Saskatchewan and was part of the 60s Scoop, but she reunited with her family in the 1980s. Sharon received her cultural teachings from her beloved Anishinaabe grandmother, Rebecca, who was a midwife and traditional healer. Sharon's cultural heritage has inspired all of her art and way of living. She is an award-winning artist who was the co-artistic director of Big Sky, a successful multimedia company that performed in the United States and Canada. For 30 years, Sharon has also been a community leader, working for social change in the Aboriginal community in the areas of arts, culture, health, and community development. She's had a diverse career working in a variety of settings in the private and public sectors, as well as on and off reserves across Canada. Sharon is currently working on multiple projects in the Indigenous community on topics related to health, green energy, and cultural healing. Sharon believes that a relevant, sustainable cultural foundation is the key for wellness for her people and all people. Solomon is Anishinaabe, Tsimshian, and Gitxsan. He is Treaty from the Key First Nation located in northeastern Saskatchewan. Solomon is the first in three generations to be raised by his own parents because of colonial government policy. He has worked for the BC Public Service as a consultant and entrepreneur, and his work focuses on reconciliation, decolonization, intercultural engagement, change management, and community engagement. Solomon's practice has been deeply influenced by his culture and upbringing. His toolkit has been enriched through the mentorship he has received in his career from senior leaders in both the Indigenous and non-Indigenous community. He is passionate about the meaningful inclusion of Indigenous voices, culture, knowledge, and values in every project he undertakes. He works actively to understand core issues, analyze systemic and organizational blind spots, and identify opportunities for transformation. Culture and ritual are key components of his work, building on the legacy and gifts of his ancestors. Solomon believes that ritual and observing protocols are an inclusive and dynamic way of meaningful indigenization of his professional practice. He immerses his process with the traditions and mindfulness he was raised with, and all of this informs his results-oriented approach. Welcome, Sharon and Solomon.
Good morning, everybody. I'm going to speak first and share a little story before Solomon speaks. But it's just an honor and a gift to be with all of you today. And it's deeply meaningful to me that this is the purpose, is to honor and commemorate those who served in Canada. My people say that the stars are the campfires of our ancestors. They illuminate our dreams at night. And if you look up in the sky, we say when a person takes their four-day journey to the spirit world, they light a fire in the sky. And my grandmother, my Mushum Solomon, who is Solomon's namesake, served in the war. And I never knew him because he passed away before I went home. But my grandmother and people were so proud of the service of my mushroom. And I also, the veterans celebration are very strongly celebrated on Facebook by younger generations. There are stories of how they walked for 50 miles to sign up for the war. And Solomon, we lived on a tiny little island in Pender. And Solomon grew up living and breathing history, and in particular, the wars. And I remember Solomon's grade four teacher telling me that he had a poster on the wall of a ship. And he said that Solomon knew the year that that ship was decommissioned. He knew who had manufactured the davits on that ship. And out of this passion that Saul had for understanding history, and in particular, the impacts of the war, he looked up to the vets on Pender, the veterans, and they were his true life heroes. And eventually on Veterans Day, we had an Eagle Staff. Solomon and his dad made an Eagle Staff, and they became part of the Pender Island celebrations. And I'm a widow. Saul's father passed away about 10 years ago. And I can remember those veterans on Pender absolutely loved Saul. And a few of them came knocking on the door shortly after his dad passed. And I could see the deep love and concern that they had for Saul. And so with that introduction into Solomon, he's going to share a little bit about his insights and knowledge about the Indigenous war effort in this country. Solomon?
Thank you so much, Mom. I share in those feelings that you have about the incredible honor and privilege to be speaking with all of you here this morning into something that is deeply meaningful for me and deeply meaningful for a lot of members of our community. And, you know, it's funny, a few weeks ago when my mother, Sharon, asked me if I would like to participate in today's sermon and to speak to this, I immediately became very excited. As my mother mentioned, I've always had a passion for history and understanding the human condition. And war is a very interesting and at times very violent and destructive part of our nature. And I've always sought to understand the meaning of war and why we go to war. And I've been really fascinated with that element of humanity in war. And so I, from a very young age, have always been very engaged with our veterans. And as Sharon mentioned, we grew up in my parents decided to raise me in a very small island community here on the Southern Gulf Islands in British Columbia. And this community of Pender Island only had about maybe 1,500 to 2,000 people living on the island when I was growing up. And yet on Pender, there was a very strong, because the community was largely a retirement community, there were a lot of veterans that retired to Pender Island. So there was quite an active legion on Pender Island. And it was always something very meaningful to me to be able to participate and remember the war dead, as well as the sacrifices of those who survived. And for me, it was really an opportunity to show my gratitude for what they had done. And part of the tragedy of war is that hindsight is 20/20. And, you know, while they were fighting, particularly in the Second World War, you know, that was the war that felt the most justified. And I think, you know, when we think about the atrocities committed during the Second World War and really all war, you know, it was really poignant, I think, for me to recognize that history and to recognize the sacrifice of those veterans. And
got your lap full of stuff to chew.
Oh, sorry. I think someone's not on mute. Sorry. So it was really, it was very interesting growing up in such a small community and yet to have such a very large presence of veterans for me to be able to engage with and to learn war stories. And growing up, there weren't any Indigenous veterans, to my knowledge, on Pender Island. If there were, they weren't very active in the Legion. And growing up, you know, as we are right now as a country, there's been a lot of awakenings to the history of colonization and the impacts on Indigenous people. And growing up, you know, there was so much that was presented to us that we either took for granted and didn't question. And one of those things was about Indigenous service in the First and Second World War and subsequent wars and peacekeeping missions afterwards. And the disproportional treatment of veterans when they came home. And that's something that I really began to learn about, not until I was really a teenager and into my adult years. And the treatment of Indigenous veterans, and it's quite shocking, you know, their experiences to go from often residential schools right into the military and then serving only to come home and not be treated as equals. It's pretty shocking, some of that history. And it's funny, thinking about the opportunity to speak with all of you today, you know, I do quite a bit of Indigenous training that was mentioned as part of my professional work. And I was really struggling with, is this going to be a history lesson or is it going to be a homily? And, you know, I think really my experiences, you know, have really humbled me because, you know, when you speak to veterans, they're always extraordinarily humble about their service. And the common and shared traumas of war, when you speak to Indigenous veterans, you know, they often speak of the struggle of war and the conditions that all of them were forced to live under. And you know, growing up on Pender, as I began to learn more about the treatment of Indigenous veterans and sharing that with the veterans that I was very lucky to have a close and personal relationship with, it was quite shocking and to see some of the emotional reactions because, you know, some of those veterans on Pender were not aware that Indigenous veterans weren't getting the same access to services that non-Indigenous veterans were getting access to. And, you know, and war is, of course, always political as well. And so learning about those politics as well in terms of the Legion and how Indigenous veterans were treated, you know, has been a real learning experience and still learning even to this day. You know, it's funny because this year there has been so much focus on reconciliation. There are things that even I'm learning now. And, you know, it's quite shocking that it wasn't until 1951 that First Nations Indigenous veterans were not allowed to speak at the Royal Canadian Legion. They weren't allowed to toast their war dead, which is a very common ceremony, if you will, in the Legion. And and there are many other things. You know, it wasn't until the 1990s that First Nations Aboriginal veterans were allowed to lay wreaths on behalf of their comrades at cenotaphs at the both national level as well as the regional level. And yeah, it's really difficult, I think, to think about, you know, the treatment of, and my mother Sharon alluded to one of our relatives, my namesake Solomon, and his service during the Second World War and the service of many other relatives of ours right up to the present day. I think of my cousin Keith, who served in the Canadian Armed Forces during the mission in Afghanistan, and some of the traumas that he experienced fighting in Afghanistan. And I think, you know, it was mentioned earlier in the service today about some of the Afghan interpreters that are being relocated throughout Canada. And, you know, it's just, it's quite terrible to think that all of these experiences can feel like they are, that they don't have a purpose, because we didn't, of course, succeed in Afghanistan's mission. But it's very difficult. It's very, very difficult to see the experiences of some of those veterans and the way that they were treated when they came home. And so, yeah, as we reflect and ponder on the impacts of war and on the impacts of colonization, I think it's important to remember the humanity that unites all of us, the power of prayer and the power of healing. And yeah, I'm just so grateful to be here today and to have had a little, an opportunity to share a little bit about some of my experiences. And now I want to invite my mother, Sharon, to just share a little bit about some of our teachings and our understandings around sacrifice and prayer.
Thank you, Solomon. That was very beautiful. And I also wish to acknowledge Solomon's uncle. My brother is a veteran as well. His name is Earl. And one of the things that our people believe is that the spirit world is part of our world. And the medicine that we have, the reason why we do ceremony, everything is about the ancestors. And we believe that the ancestors, they physically run in our DNA, they're in our land, they're in our hearts and in our minds. And that as we go along in life, we represent them and we carry them with us. So very similar to the poem that I read, we honor our ancestors in all things that we do. We light a flame for us is emulating the stars, our ancestors, when we light a flame and we feel their warmth and we feel their presence. And every single event that's happened throughout the ages, throughout history, we carry somewhere in our spirits. And our spirits can heal and unite. And I would just like to close our sermon with an acknowledgement of oneness. That my grandmother had a saying, she used to say before she prayed that my grandfather and my grandfather's grandfather, all the way back to the first one, and my grandmother's grandmother's grandmother, all the way back to the first one. And she used to tell me, remember, we are one. We are one people. So I would like to close this sermon